Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. I'm Amanda, and I will be joined by my co-host, Kate, very shortly. Today's episode is slightly different than the format you might be used to if you have listened to our podcast before. Today, we're going to be talking about the Akashic Records, and specifically, I will be interviewing Kate about her experience as a reader of the Akashic Records and also as a spiritual guide who works with clients. And so I will be experiencing and hearing her insights from her work with clients around these areas. So today's episode is different in that you might be used to Kate doing the introduction. I'm editing today's episode and things happened a little bit differently than they typically do. We got on our call and we just started talking and it was a really good conversation. And I said, hey, let's just start recording and let's just see where the conversation wants to go. So you're going to be joining in on the conversation, what feels like maybe like something's already happened. We're just kind of dive right into what we're talking about. As I mentioned, I am interviewing Kate specifically around her experiences with the Akashic Records. And so I was preparing for the episode. I was thinking of questions to ask her. After jotting some down, I decided to do a little bit more research. And what I came across was an article. It was probably one of the first few items that I found on Google, written by, I'm blanking on their name, but I'll have it in the show notes for you. It was a really great article, and this person was stating how the Akashic Records are available to us all. They are a way for us to tap into who we are on a soul level, and basically, all of us can do it. I was of the belief that only certain people were able to. Maybe they had a certain gift, and it does take some practice and skill to do it. But this person in the article affirmed that we all can do it, and here's how you can go about doing it. That piqued my curiosity, and I decided to give it a go before I got on the call with Kate to record this episode. And I had a really cool experience and I was feeling pretty excited going into the call. And so that's basically what we started talking about. Hopefully you all get something out of this episode. And I will, like I said, I will link to that article in the show notes so you can try it if you want to after hearing what you can get out of the Akashic Records, why it might be beneficial for you. From basically what we're talking about, Kate goes into how this can be a tool for us to heal things that are stopping us from living our best lives. So it's available to all of us. And so after listening to the episode, if it resonates with you, I encourage you to dive in and give it a go. If you do try it and you have a cool experience or whatever your experience is, we'd love to hear about it. Feel free to leave it in the comments, whether you're listening, watching on YouTube. If you're listening as a podcast member, you can send us a message. You can actually comment on the episode within our website. So maybe you didn't know that you could do that. Every episode has a page on our website and you can go there and leave a comment. All right, I'll stop talking now and we'll just go ahead and dive into the conversation. Thanks for being here and see you soon. Do you feel the need to do grounding or what did you like?
I'm okay. How are you feeling? Would you like grounding?
I think I'm good, actually. So I wrote out some questions and then I said, oh, I'm going to do a little bit of research on Akashic Records. And I came across, the first thing that I came across, it was like,
telling you how you can like access them. And I'm like, I'm going to try that. And so I tried it and it was very powerful.
Yeah, amazing.
So I'm interested to hear like what you have to say.
Well, I did like the opening prayer or whatever. That is
the pathway prayer. Is it Linda Howe?
Yes, that. And she said, if you're feeling difficulty trusting, to call an Archangel Michael, which he's someone who I you know, have a history with. So I called him in, and it was really about there's something about me that wants to like see things or like hear things, but it's like, trust that you receive through knowing. And then I just felt this like really powerful energy, like in my heart space, like this like opening here. And so rather than trying to will something to come, to just like receiving. And so what I saw was it's part of what is happening for me right now is like, I'm rewriting my patterns of like starting things and not following, like getting ideas, inspiration, and not following through because I don't think that anything will come of it. So I'm creating this new site and it's feeling like I'm using AI and I'm creating a course. And I see that's part of my like life's work, my number 41. It's about manifestation essentially. And so basically I saw that, and I also saw my evolution spheres, which is about like humility and arrogance and humility. So trust that if I can release the doubt, it's all about releasing the doubt. So then what wants to come in can come in. And that that pertains to the work as well. Then with regards to like the arrogance and the humility, it was about not like stepping into the ego as like I allow other gifts to come on board or to like strengthen is like being aware of that. Like, because that's like a challenge sphere, right? Like that's something that like can stop me from like doing it in its best or in its like most purest form, I guess. So that's kind of what came in. So it felt like I was that's in there amazing. For like a while, but it was only like, I don't want to say like 15 minutes or something, but
it felt really good. Yeah, amazing. I love it. And I would say, like, next time you go in, you can bring the question, like, what do I need to know about this doubt? Like, what is at the root of the doubt? So, you can ask that question too, that we can talk about that. Like, that's what's powerful about the records, especially even if someone reads it for you. We can bring those issues in and we're asking at a soul level, where does it come from? You know, like, and yeah, I can share some examples of, journeys that I can remember I've taken people on where we get to the root of it, and then I'm guided, we heal it at an energetic soul level, and literally, you know, and as crazy as it sounds, we shift it and we transmute the energy, and like then I always try to like bring in something else to hold there, and people have reported, like, you know, come back and said it was, you know, that's moved, it's shifted, I've done it for myself. You know, and that's the power. You're talking to your own consciousness, your soul, to like, I feel like it's almost like tapping into the subconscious sometimes when someone's especially reading for you, which you can go a bit deeper, because for me personally, I feel like I get in my head a little bit about what I'm receiving for myself. You know, it's a bit of attachment to what I want to hear. And that's how I ended up working with Anna, because I was like, all right, I need someone else to help me with this particular question. And like, it was around reading my four people, and yeah, it was a big shift.
Well, it's interesting, like, because I think my mind, before I went in, I was like, I can't get there. Right? I don't have the ability. But like reading what this person wrote, it was like, anyone can do it. Like, this is the process that you do it. And I was like, well, let me just release my doubt that I can't do it. And what if I can? And then also like a doubt, like that something can shift so powerfully from something like this, like, is my head like, oh, you know, my head, things take time. Like, things are not instantaneous, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think from that place, I could see how things can shift in a moment, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's just easy enough that I can say I'm ready to release this doubt. Like, it doesn't have to be anything more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, there's Ainsley MacLeod. He's a medium. Yeah. And he's written a couple of books. And he talks about how, you know, past life, let's say, experiences like, you know, being murdered or strangled or, you know, in a bad relationship or whatever, sometimes when they're really traumatic, there's an imprint that then is experienced in this present life, or let's just say in this timeline, comes across however we want to see time. But that really all we need to do to release that, once we realize that it's a past life, is letting the soul or the consciousness know that was then, this is now, this isn't happening now. Like, it's as simple as just really, really saying that out loud to the soul, that like, that was that lifetime, recognize it, and it's not happening now. It's not happening now. And like, he's got one of his books, and I can't remember which one it is, if it's the Old Souls Guidebook. I think it might be that one, where he talks you through some of the case studies at the different sort of definitions of people and types of souls and ages of souls and whatnot, where he does share examples of the readings he's done of the symptoms people presented with or the issues, and, you know, how, what they had to do to, you know, sort of just clear that. But he said it's not that hard. It's that simple. It's a soul knowing, it's a soul remembering that we can shift those things, like even a pain in the belly that a little kid has, they yet, you know, diagnostically through medicine, there's nothing wrong, but it's a past life where they had been, let's say, a soldier and they were killed by a stab wound, or just a person that was killed by a stab wound, and yet that memory or that experience is still in the consciousness, and the soul thinks it's now, and it's simply just a really like a rewiring, a letting know that it was then, this is not happening now, and it can clear that simply. And I mean, that sounds right, like, to anyone, that's crazy. It doesn't happen like that. But if we say it doesn't happen like that, it won't happen like that.
Sure. Well, like, because I still feel like my vibration right now is much higher from getting into that. And so, when you say that, no, there's no, like, there's no doubt.
Yes. Yes.
And it's from the vibration that we're in, whether we can believe something
or
we just reject it as an impossibility, because that frequency can't be considered.
Yeah,
it was like working more deeply with Archangel Michael to protect me as I'm trying to create something new, a new pattern. I have to protect what I'm doing from that doubt energy, because that's what's going to stop it from coming to fruition. And so, but what you make sense, you're saying that makes sense too, is like, going in there, it's like, how can we get to the root of it as well?
Yeah.
And
what's in me that needs to be cleared? What would I need to just release here?
Being aware that it's just that there is this force that is, that I hold, that awareness, I think, allows me to see it when it arises. That in and of itself shifts it, because it can't unconsciously bring me down when I'm, you know, tired or whatever, in a state where I'm more susceptible, I'm in a lower vibration, essentially.
Yeah. And I think that's why this work is so powerful, that when we do the work for ourselves, just like you described, if we start to have a deeper awareness of things like our doubt or our fear, and like ask that question, even for ourselves, where does this come from in a conscious state? And like, take the time to like ask and be willing to receive an answer. And like, and I think I've taken that, what I've learned by working in the records, just to my own like asking of my higher self. It's always here, you know, intuitive information is always available. And so, you know, I've had times where I'm maybe trying to create something and my fears come in around authenticity and vulnerability and like what I want to say and people gonna like me, and so I will sit with that feeling, right? And like, it's either in my chest or it's in my belly, and I'm like, okay, what's here, and maybe I put my hands on it, and I'll just wait to receive an answer from myself, and then maybe it starts with emotion, and I'm like, okay, where's that come from? And then it's like, we're going deeper. We're going one layer deeper in the onion. And then I let myself receive an insight. And sometimes I get an image of myself and I number. And then I'm like, okay, what does that part of me need to know? You know, so much of it is even our inner child healing. And that's why I think that work is essential. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Like, I have a conversation with that part of yourself. It's you, right? It's not inaccessible. Maybe if people have had massive traumas, I'm not sure. It's never been my experience. There might be stuff locked away and you want support doing that. And there's ways for, you know, that to happen. People work with, you know, professionals to do this stuff in a safer container, slower way, whatever's good for them. But for most of us, we can. It's us. It's us. It's just a younger version of us held in. I just kind of imagine just held in time, locked in time with this story and this wound. That we just need to give our conscious awareness to this part of ourselves. Like, why are you here now? Like, what happened then? What do you want to tell me? How do you feel right now? What do you need to not feel this way? What can I give you in this moment? And, you know, sometimes it's just like, slow down, or can we just go outside, or just to be recognized, you know? And then you have this awareness of this part of yourself. And like you just said, you can then, you know, be doing the thing and you feel your doubt come up, and it's kind of like you just put an arm around the doubt, that little part of you, and just be like, you can come and sit next to me. We're okay. You know, and it just softens the sort of trigger or the feeling, because you've witnessed it. You've acknowledged it. It's there. You can see this part of yourself as, this is me that just got scared, and I know what I need in these moments. And it's usually just to feel okay with what we're doing. And I get to give that to myself. And to me, that's sort of how we're coming back to a sense of wholeness, when we bring all those little younger versions of ourselves in to our loving embrace. I'm never going to wrong or shame you. And you're here and you just sit with me. I'm the adult, I got us. And we're going to do this all together. What do you need? You need a cup of tea, or just want a breath? Do you want me to like put on some music, or okay? Everyone's needs to taken care of, and now we're all going to do this together. And that's how I see it anyway.
Okay, well, you're just saying that where the doubt came from just like dropped in, and it's not even something that I've like really worked with, or I don't know. I don't really want to like start talking about it at the moment, but
yeah, it's really, you have like, the awareness now.
Yeah, it's like that where does this come from? And, you know, I've done a lot of work around like, where does this come from? As my childhood, I've done a lot of, but I've not really looked at this. And so it'll be interesting to, you know, go there.
Yeah,
and
stay with it.
Like,
yeah,
it's a pattern that's held me back for a long time. I've struggled with for it to just like drop in a second, like, oh, it comes from this.
Yes. Yeah, right. And that's the power of asking the question. There's a power, like, you've now found, like, and even in that, I don't know how that felt in your body, but like and it's almost like that little bit,
like,
of,
I just wanted to cry actually, like,
yeah,
and it's like, well, because that's how I release as well, is through my tears.
Yes.
But it's almost like, it's that simple.
Yeah. And you know what? And then you can just cry, and it moves some of that energy. It moves what happened in that moment that maybe you didn't express at the time. And the whole thing becomes a bit lighter. You feel a bit more love and compassion for yourself. And then that doubt eases to a point. I'll say that I don't think it ever goes away. It's always going to be there, but it gets like, you know, quieter.
The more you can see it, though, the more you know how it's affecting you versus it being completely this invisible force that's like impacting you on such a deep level. And then, but you can't see that it's there, right? But so as long as you know, like, as you know, as long as you know it's there, you can work with it, right? You can, you can be on the same team. You can, and like, what happens when you acknowledge, like, what, like, your experience that was traumatic?
Yeah,
like, what happens with that? Like, you're validated, like, all of you.
Yes,
like, and
yes,
you have compassion for yourself. That I'm just having goosebumps right now, but that you went through something hard and.
Yeah.
You made it through, and you did whatever you had. You learned something. Like, for in this instance, I learned to be a certain way because of the circumstances that I lived through. And then, no wonder I developed this like coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now you can meet this part of yourself to say, okay, what do you need from me, this version of me, to just what do you just need from me? You know, like, what can I give you? And then act on whatever you receive on that. And that kind of, like, I don't know, to me, seals the bond, does the healing. That's the integration of the insight that's come forth from this asking the question. And this part again, kind of like
the bond.
Like it creates and strengthens like that bond, like this lost part of self, this unconscious part of self. Like you've now witnessed her. You've seen her. She's given you this insight of this is where it came from. Okay, what do you need from me in this moment? How can I make you feel what you want? Act on whatever you receive. And that to me is where we're really integrating that energy, and that's the healing. That's the healing part when we act on what did that part of me need in that time? What does it want in this moment? I give that to myself. That's the most deeply loving, self-loving thing we can ever do. And to me, that's the self-healing. That's where we're really reclaiming the parts of self that we've maybe exiled because we don't want to feel those ways. Or as our, you know, we've grown up and our ego's developed, we've decided I can't be like X, Y, and Z, or you should be like this, or, you know, don't do that again. You know, how we construct our sense of how to operate in the world because of our experiences. When we're young, we don't understand, you know, and then why we have doubt now, why we have fear, why we do X, Y, and Z, whatever our patterns are. That's our work, is discovering, you know, where do they come from? What happened? What do I need to know? What does that part of me need? And like, give it to them, love those parts. And then that to me is, that's where we really get to feel true sense of like a wholeness. This is who I am, is I really love myself and self-compassion, compassion for those parts. Why I've always felt those ways. I had a story. I got locked in a story and I got stuck there thinking this, you know, and then it can be very subconscious because it just gets filed away. Like, this is how I'm going to operate. You know, we're not consciously thinking about that thing all the time, but that's what I think the records can do. And that's what I think even, you know, once you've even learned to practice it for yourself, like you don't even have to necessarily go in. They're there. It's yours. Ask the question, whatever you learn through that practice of how you can access that part of you. Yeah. Just turn it on. Because really that's all we have to do is just turn it on.
And then what? Yeah, but from what you were saying, it's like, and then being able to ask, like, why did I choose this, right? Because, like, I chose this. Like, I chose this lesson because I needed, it's part of what I'm here to do. And without having doubt, I couldn't learn how to not doubt, right? And so,
and so
it was important for me to have that experience that got me to doubt.
Because another great question, how has this served me? Obviously we can see how it hasn't, but how has it? Because, you know, holding it for as long as you have, exactly, you've become and developed other strengths and skills because of that, right? Now you can heal this doubt. You've got the superpowers and now you do the healing, and like doubt just becomes this gift that you've had for however long to come to this moment of like, wow, I can now like really walk forward in a more powerful way.
Yeah. And like, you know, when we really know something, we can then help people, right? Once we learn how to move beyond it, when we really know it can we
absolutely
be that support for others. And that I feel in a true authentic way, empathetic way. For the experience that they're going through too.
Yeah.
Cause we can recognize, right? Like I was there and
I
know you'd feel like you might not ever get to the other side of this. But you can be an example of, of the process of coming through it. And so that's why they're gifts, right? Because then we can share them.
Well, I think, you know, you just described that, like nothing really that we have is a hindrance. Like we experience what we experience through our lives. Like, you know, as we started, when we were talking before, you know, we're both spiritual when we're young, but then we hit our weird, you know, we did a whole episode on that for whatever reasons. And yet we can look and think that what happened in those times was like, you know, stumbling blocks or blocks, but they're not, they're just lessons waiting to be unpacked. It's all that is just like this journey of unpacking and becoming and realization and reclaiming and like building our strength along the way to like have these wonderful abilities to be resourceful and, you know, whatever, like creative, you know. And our soul wanted it, right? It wanted all the ups and downs, the hill climbs, the descents, the swims across the river and whatever to become the fullness of this expression of who we are. So, you know, the journey, it takes a bit, especially when it's really hard to embrace that, but it is by us, not for us.
What would be the point of it all if we didn't have the journey?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, like
exactly.
If no. I think about, like, I like to hike. I haven't done a lot of hiking as of late, but I really like hiking. And it's like the good hikes were the ones that were hard and like,
oh god, yeah.
Remembering like moments on the trail that were just like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it much further. Mm-hmm. And but then I think you like go move, like figure out. Like I remember this one time. When I was younger, I used to have a lot of pain in my knees, like going down, like after a lot of miles and going downhill, like I would get this like terrible pain in my knees. Wow. And I remember I did Half Dome. I think I was 21, maybe 22. I was with another group of people around my age. And I was coming down and I was like in tears almost. My knees were just in so much pain. And so that was like a bad experience that I just assumed I'm always going to struggle after a lot of miles walking downhill. And then I remember probably like 5 years later, I was training to hike Mount Whitney, which is the tallest peak in the lower 48 states. It's like 14,000 feet. So I was doing a lot of hiking and my dad and I were on a hike and I was coming down and my knees started to hurt. And I don't know how it happened, but in almost an instant, my knee pain was gone. It disappeared. Dang. And it was through my mind. I willed it almost. And I never had that knee pain again going downhill. Amazing.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so like, cool. I forgot about that. It's like the struggles, I think, of the journey. Sorry, that was kind of a tangent, but the struggles of the journey, right? That like we're here to experience. And, but at the same time, it's like we get worn down after struggling too long, right? Mm. Like getting stuck in those struggles. It's like we're meant to also to go beyond. And it feels like tapping into our soul and like doing these healings, like powerful way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've unpacked all of that from where our conversation naturally wanted to go, let's talk more about your journey in becoming a spiritual guide and how you've worked with the Akashic Records and you're working with channeling. Mm-hmm. Talk about the Akashic Records and how what they are for people who might not know and what they from your experience they can do for us and anything you think that would be helpful for people to know.
Mm. Yeah, okay. So to start, what the Akashic Records are. The Akashic Records are the energetic record of our soul. So everything that we experience in life is created as, I kind of like to think of it as it's just literally one long stream of data that is stored in the library of our soul. So it's kind of like when you open the Akashic Records, you know, they say it's like the library, you know, it's everything we've ever experienced. So if we, you know, if it was just one long movie, it's just one long stream of movie tape. And at any point we can ask a question or ask for insight on any part of that journey, remembering that this particular life we're living right now is only a portion of this soul's experience of life. This soul, if you look at time as linear, it has had many previous incarnations. So there are past lives all stored in that record. So basically everything that this soul, this consciousness that we are, has ever experienced is stored in this database and this library. And then of course, there's also access to some future potentials in there as well. So when I think about the future potentials, I see it as where we are now in the expression of who we are in this moment. There is a potential field that we can tap into it's not a place to get predictions and who you're going to marry and all that sort of stuff. But whatever it is you're working through, there's a way to be able to get guidance for that path. Sometimes I feel like when I have kind of been given people's insight for further out, it might be 3 months, it might be 6 months, or it might even feel like actually it's further down the track, but here's what to focus on now. So, you know, there can be this sort of longer term picture of, for me, what I, when I read for someone, like where the direction really is that they're being pulled and that they can feel and they resonate with that pull. And then I might see some kind of like stop points in between, which are really like actually where they are. They also, again, really resonate with where they're feeling called. So it can be this confirmation of like, focus here, expand here, really give your energy to this. So yeah, so it's just this incredible database of information. We all have one because we are each a soul. We had Anna Hendricks on here a few weeks back, and I learned through her that everything, including like the planet, has an Akashic record. Cities have an Akashic record. Countries have Akashic records. So, you know, we can tap into information from any source if we really wish to. I've just worked with it as people and helping to guide them to know themselves better, to kind of do the deeper work of accessing information, kind of like we were talking about before. Yeah, so that's what they are. What was your other part of the question? Was it just that?
I think that was that.
My Jenny? Yes.
Yeah, we'll go there in a second. I just want to say that something that I think that I envisioned or what felt daunting to me, it's like, oh, it's this library of everything that seems very daunting. And then something that I read in this, you know, this post that I read before our call was that the information that we need in this moment in time is what comes forward. It's like nothing's what's relevant for right now. And to me, oh, that seems much more less overwhelming than the whole library. Cause I feel the library of everything, that's like, that's too much. So
yeah.
Have you found
Go ahead. Go. No, you go. What was your question?
Or just have you found that's the case? It's like such timely information that comes through. And I guess like for me, seeing how like there's these potentials and the information that comes through, it's going to be like, it's going to help one move in the direction of that highest potential. Like what needs to come through to like get them to allow that highest potential to come through.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Like while there is all that information in there, it's I kind of imagine it's like all the books are there, but what then we do is that we want to ask a specific kind of question. And so then we're going to get like, maybe it's that particular one book off that shelf, and we'll like open that to whatever page and then we'll receive that information. And yes, I do say to people when I do readings for them that, well, you might have some specific questions in your mind about what's important to know. Excuse me. If your soul or your record keepers, because it's believed that there are beings that protect our Akashic records, so I have to have permission to read someone else's records, and with their permission, then I can access the information. And that if there's something else that your soul, your higher self, your guides want you to know in this moment, that will be what I receive. And I can't really override that. You know, I might ask a question to you around something that you're experiencing or something that you feel like you're stuck on. What's the block around that? And we might be trying to explore the root cause of that. And yet the visuals and the information I'm getting is sort of highlighting some other part of your life, because it's like, no, first we want you to pay attention to this. We need to unpack this. So we go with what we get in those cases, because that's what needs to be worked on, known, seen, experienced first, that to then maybe ask these other questions. So yeah, absolutely. It is about the question. And sometimes too, I find that if it's really not something that is important to know in this moment, sometimes I get super vague answers or just like nothing. Or when someone's really wanting to know, what should I do? Sometimes there's a directive to where there's a real, you know, here's where the energy feels like it is. And other times for people, I just kind of get this like, it doesn't really matter what choice you make. It's like from a higher point or a soul perspective, or in this moment, it's not one of those like, you just get to choose in this moment. Like, I guess the energy just feels, you know, it's not something from above that needs to be that big of a decision, maybe, or it's just like, just choose what feels good for you, because it's not, it's whatever, you know, there's not that guidance all the time. So
I wonder also, because sometimes we need to have the experience that forces us to make the choice, right? Like, rather than,
yeah.
I think if sometimes maybe we're relying too much upon other people giving us the, other outside of us giving us the answer, like, we have to be put in a situation where, yeah, like, reclaiming our power to make that choice, right? And so sometimes,
yeah,
maybe the answer is not going to come through, because really that's a choice that, like, we can't outsource, and we have to come to it on our own.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think that, what's it going to say when you're saying that, you know, we also have free will to completely dismiss what we receive and be like, yeah, I don't want to do that, because, you know, I still feel the fear, and my mind's like, no, worst case scenario, the or best case scenario, I'm going to go over here. And that's totally fine. Like, take or leave what you get. We can ask for that guidance, but we still have, it is not a rule book. We do not have to follow that. You know, I think sometimes too, the information and the guidance that comes through can sometimes be sort of, I want to say, like, longer term, you know, maybe it's not in this immediate, like, you've got space to kind of just experience what you're experiencing and move through things, that, you know, it's leading you to a point where that decision is much more important. So if that really
sometimes
answers that
when
question
your seeds
too, exactly.
be planted, right? Like, we need to,
yeah,
and like, and then when the we've had the life experience where that seed is ready to come on, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it's like receiving the information now, and like, maybe something seems really odd. Like, well, I don't really get this piece of information. And it's
exactly.
like, yeah, you don't get yeah. it right now. You have to,
yeah,
like, yeah, further down the road when that information is going to be relevant for you and that you can make it
yeah.
come alive, right? So. Time
yeah,
is such a, like, with healing, time is such a, as we just spoke about yesterday in our last conversation, that with healing or with an awakening, the, what wants to change or unravel or open, it's happening not in linear time, how we as humans
yeah.
want it to, or think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And things can happen yeah. instantaneously, and things can happen
mm-hmm.
more slowly, but it's all connected to maybe something that happened, like a reading, right? An without that piece of information dropping in, you might not have perked up when, you know, that thing came back to you in an interesting way, right? It's like when you receive information
yeah.
multiple times, it's like, okay, now I'm gonna act now
yeah.
because this is not the first time I've heard this maybe weird thing
yeah.
that I've been told to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what I see too with readings that I do for people, I think that, you know, we've had this conversation before, we are receiving our own intuitive guidance all the time, you know, and we, if our mind is busy, we're going to override that and we're going to dismiss that very often. And so I do get that a lot for people is that,
yes,
right? Like you're telling me again, and those are people I've never met. I don't know anything about them. They live on the other side of the world. And here I am speaking their intuitions to them. And so they're like, okay, I'm going to listen now. You know, so it can be a really incredible way for some random stranger, in a sense, to validate your intuitive knowing by me asking and tapping into your soul, your consciousness to see, you know, in with these crazy visuals that I get telling a story. And they're like, yeah, no, that totally resonates. I totally get that. And yes, I think too that some of the information you receive in a reading just really helps you hold a bigger picture of where things are going. And as you just said, when you arrive to that moment, you're like, yes, you know, that reading from 3 months ago or 6 months ago, she said that. Okay, now I get it. And exactly, they're literally like, yeah, future seeds that in the moment you're kind of like, what? And, you know, I did mention on my story when we talked about my awakening, there was a bit of a seed that was planted in one of the readings that I'd had for myself. And it was like the October, I think, of 2018. And I was in a bit of a state and I was having a reading. And at the end, she just said, I just keep hearing Bali. They just wanted me to tell you Bali. I don't know what that's for, but I'm just going to give it to you. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, I'd been to Bali like 20 years before. And I'm like, I'm not going back to Bali. Pack that away. And then it was 2019 when I was like, I need to leave Japan. I need to like go somewhere to like figure my shit out. And I was trying to think, okay, where's somewhere hot, tropical, warm and not too expensive that I could stay for a while and like do yoga and meditation. And I was thinking Thailand. And then all of a sudden I was like, Bali. Okay, well, let me look into Bali. And so I ended up going there. And that's where I met the spiritual teacher who was the one to facilitate my awakening. And so, you know, that was like 6-7 months later, and I just packed it away. And I mean, I know that that was why she said that. Like, I know it, because the person I worked with, if I hadn't chosen another person to be my counselor, I probably wouldn't be here today having this conversation with you. You know, that he was the one.
Oh yeah,
to like crack me open. You know, yeah.
not letting you get away with.
I wasn't taking any of my shit.
Yeah. Well, as you were saying that, I'm like, you know, we just were talking about like how we've had these parallels. I don't remember if that was, we said that when we were recording or not, but I went to Costa Rica when I was 19 and I didn't really imagine going back to Costa Rica. And then that was the place that, you know, was my place to go have my awakening, you know?
Yeah. So I love that.
Funny,
I
mean, it's kind of like Costa Rica and Bali are kind of like similar in terms of like, that's your, on your side of the world, that's your.
Yeah.
Like tropical place that he'll go to heal.
Exactly. And I'll say, I think I was 19 when I went there the first time. We need to like map out our life together and like have a look.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So this is all really good. So I'm curious, can you share about when people come in, because you're not in a physical location, you're all doing this virtually most of the time, right? So Are they coming in with questions for you, or they're coming with maybe like a certain challenge in their life, or like how does that work and like kind of logistically for a reading?
Yeah. Yes. When I first started doing them, yes, you could come and really just ask anything. The type of question that you ask, and you send out a document to people like how we craft a question, you know, yes, no answers are going to be really not going to yield much information. What to-dos aren't going to yield too much information. What can I do about X, Y, and Z? How can I, what do I need to know about this pattern? Or, you know, things that really can help us evolve are amazing questions to ask. It can be asked around health. It can be asked around money. It can be asked around relationships. It can be asked around our purpose and things like that. So everything is available because all of that information is there. What I have found through the people that I've worked with or that have come to me, it's been because there's something that they feel like they want to shift here. I feel stuck, I feel blocked, or I'm wanting to know my purpose a little bit more, or, you know, in that realm of things. And what often I've facilitated is the healings that will take place. So it's like, you know, maybe even around purpose, you know, they have this question, but they're, like we said before, all right, you have this knowing, but first you need to look at this thing over here that we need to address and like bring to light for you to even like turn towards this idea of purpose, you know. So that's really where I started to understand and experience inner child healing work, was through the readings I was doing for others and being guided and seeing for them, okay, well, I'm seeing an image of you at this age. Does that, you know, this age resonate? Did something happen around that time? And like, yeah. And whether they unpack that or not, they don't need that necessarily, that information. I just ask for more information for what I'm being shown. And then I get an impression of what might've happened, or, you know, especially when it's inner child stuff, like child has a particular demeanor, you know, they're sad, they might be hiding their face or hiding behind people. And I just really share what I see to help that person connect with what I'm receiving. How does that resonate for them? What are they connecting with? And then what's really beautiful, I'm usually guided to then, you know, get them to either put their hands on part of their body. They're really connecting then in with this imagery and bringing this part of themselves forth. And then I just listen for what wants to be asked, what wants to be done as a process. And it's beautiful. Like that's kind of like what we're talking about at the start of this, our conversation, is how we can access those parts of us and receive the information we need to unlock hidden or painful things or time stamps, I kind of think of them, where I don't know. I always just imagine it as this contraction of energy where we're like gripping onto something. Mm-hmm. You know, we maybe didn't want to feel something, or it was hard to experience as a child. Mentally, we couldn't process it. Emotionally, it felt big. So we just do this. And for me, when we're going in there, we're going into those. And then, I mean, that looks like stuck, right? If I'm squeezing my hands into a fist, that's stuck. How do we go in? Like we're finding what this is through this connecting with our soul. And then we can find out what we need to know. The client can verbalize that if they feel like it, depending on what we're guided to do. And we bring forth what we need to bring forth. And, you know, and it can be a really beautiful emotional release. Energetic release is often tears when people touch that part of themselves. And for themselves, hear from the first time from these parts of themselves why they feel these things and, like, what that deeper hurt was. And, you know, we can exactly work with the inner child there to, like, well, what does this part of you want you to know? What does it need? And how do we want to integrate this part of you? And people can have really beautiful, profound healings through it. And, you know, that's been one of the joys of being able to do that work, is helping people shift those things, you know, because they're big parts of us. And I think I might have said this before, is like, I do feel like what I've been able to see through the Akashic Records, especially in those situations, is it's like we can bypass this level, the mental level of like me trying to think about why do I feel this way? We're only going to get so far because we can't really access that subconscious. So we ask a different part of ourselves. It's like we get to go underneath to the soul, to the root level, to the consciousness part of us that's holding that energy. And we ask that. And then it brings, it's almost like, you know, steam rises out of the ground and we get to see an apparition of a visual of those moments. And, you know, another one that I did for a woman, she had an experience. I think she had an experience with plant medicine. And since that time, she'd always felt like, I can't remember her words, but almost like this disconnection from herself, like she'd lost a part of herself, or things just hadn't been right since this moment. And so we went in to sort of see what was going on here. And I got this vision of her, and it was like looking at a ghost standing on the edge of a cliff. And it was this version of her in that moment, who there was a part of her inside when she did this plant medicine, because she said this experience was like, you know, a bit crazy and intense. There was like, you didn't even ask me if I wanted to do this. I'm like, and she just splintered off, and she was still standing there at the edge of this space where, you know, she jumped into this, what felt like for her, this abyss of this experience, and came out the other side, like, what the? And we were able to reconnect with this part of herself. I was still standing there waiting, like, you'd never asked me if I was okay with this, you know, and she was able to like bring that part back and reconnect that part to then feel like this massive block she'd had for a really long time could shift. And she's told me many times since then, you know, how powerful that experience was for her, and how it really shifted a lot for her, that, you know, there's just these even like parts of our psyche that are stuck somewhere where, you know, we had these experiences that we don't realize we've left a bit of ourselves somewhere. So, you know, that's sort of the healing side of what we can do. And yeah, bringing those parts of self back into consciousness, awareness, and learn more about ourselves. So I think it's a beautiful tool to work with that inner world in a different way that we can't always do with our conscious mind. But then, as I was saying, once we learn that through the records, these are amazing tools that we can just use with ourselves, because we are that, right? We are the consciousness. We are, all of our information is in our own energy field. You can access your own stuff. It takes a little practice. And as you did this morning, there's the pathway prayer from Linda Howe, which is a beautiful way in. I think, you know, you've got a great meditation practice, or, you know, ability. So you know how to quiet yourself. You know how to tell your mind, you know, step aside. Because that's the hardest part, I think, when you're trying to read it for yourself, is your mind gets in the way. But then, you know, you can have someone else help you, you know, read them for you. But it's a really incredible way to access different kinds of information. And even when it's, you know, looking for your purpose and path, you know, or asking those deeper questions that are not so much of a nature of feeling like you're stuck, it's beautiful. It's like the insights we get. And what I've loved, especially in the last little bit, I've been working with a lot of people who are into the human design and into their astrology and really feeling like they are here for a purpose and know themselves a bit more as energetic beings and spiritual beings. And some of the things that I see for them and energy I feel for them of who they are as souls and their purpose and path here, it's amazing to be able to facilitate and be like, wow, you're here for big things. Like, and they're like, yeah, I knew that. I could feel that. And I'm like, yeah, you're awesome. Go for it. So that's kind of where I've moved my readings to, is people really feeling like they are here for, you know, they're feeling a stirring that their soul is here for something else and really wanting to see, okay, what do I need to know to really align to that? What needs to shift in here within me? But then, yeah, moving that tool to work with more of the energy guidance as well to really help people step into the soul's potential and what that purpose and bigger mission might be for their lives.
Yeah, all of that is, there's a lot in there. And what you just said is that, you know, I think this is one very powerful modality that I think we might not always be ready for right away, right? Like sometimes, like I found in my own personal journey, it's like I can see how something I did 6 months ago prepared me to be led to a certain modality, you know, healing modality. And so whether, you know, so when it's almost like, and what you said about the plant medicine, the person with the plant medicine journey is very interesting because they do say with plant medicine, it's like, you know, you don't necessarily go looking for it. It's like when you feel called and that's your soul nudging you. But if you're, you know, you take it and that's not, your soul was not on board. That was not part of what your soul wanted you to do, right? Like, what, you might, maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But it's almost like we get, when we meet, when we're ready for these things, people find you, right? To, to have these readings. And and then also it's so cool to see how the, all of they can work together with the astrology, human design. And when earlier, you know, I saw my gene keys come in, right, that I've been working with for over a year. And there's always a new layer of understanding that comes in from the new version of us, right? We're always having, we're always shedding something, learning something new. And from that vantage point, we can understand something more about like who we are, like what is our authentic self and what we're here to do from the new vantage point and from the perspective of being within the records, seeing how, for myself, for example, learning how to move beyond this doubt is very much part of my life's work. And so it's cool to see that, like, oh, I had this because it's part of what I'm here to do is to figure this out so then I can do my life's work. And so it's like, it almost feels like we're getting these pieces of a puzzle. And it feels so good when like one fits, right? And to have like what you were saying about people coming in and like you say something that they sensed, but maybe they weren't doing, and you know, you're not someone they know. And so you reiterate that thing. And then for them, that's a strengthening of their intuition, right? That's, I was, you know, I just couldn't, I had goosebumps when, you know, I'm onto something.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's those experiences to coming back to ourselves is like, we know the answers. And you are, you can be this reminder with this, offering that you have and, for people to step more into their power of who they are when they recognize like, oh, my intuition is spot on, you know, like this, makes sense. And they can then follow that intuition, see what happens. Things get better. They go down a different path and their life kind of unfolds in a new way. That's just the intuition muscle just gets bigger and bigger because it's affirming what they initially felt. So that's a full experience, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really too where I've moved my focus with these is exactly that, like helping people in their records and working with energy as well, like with their energetic bodies and whatever it's coming up in the moment. How we can give you that deeper connection to your soul. What do we need to kind of clear out of here to like for you really feel that, trust it more? Because, you know, there's things we get in there, ego, patterns, stories, fears, blah, blah, blah. There's, and, you know, as we know, we can consciously work on those. And then sometimes it's just like we can might be able to pull the weed out of the ground, but some of the roots stay there. With the records and the energy guidance, we go in and actually get some of those roots out so that we can really open up that space, helping people feel like they have that real clear connection to their truth, to their own inner knowing of this is my purpose. So getting the noise out to, so you've got the deeper sense of trust and clarity. And then what you need to really, you know, bolster in there to help you step into that. Because, you know, I think when we really do feel like we tap into that calling, I would go, okay, I'm going to do it. Then comes a new box of even deeper fears around being authentic, being vulnerable, being seen in the world as different. And it's like, okay, we worked with some of those to get to here and like actually go, yes, I'm going to own that my mission and my purpose is completely out there and crazy and different and want to change the world. And then you say yes to it. And then you go, then there's this like this gift. Okay, now here you go. Now, like, really, really put those shoes on and wear that coat. Here's where we're going to get through the real, so for me anyway, that's been my experience of
I agree with you very much
like,
that.
Whew, yeah, we get in there and like, now we got to really show up. That was a real nice, it's cool and it was a nice idea. Now it's like, shit, okay, like we better really knuckle down. So that's really where I'm using this tool to help people when we get to that level of like, okay, I can't not step into this purpose work anymore. I can't just let it be this fancy idea and beautiful thing that I feel. I'm ready to actually put this into action. And how do I kind of clear out that chest of goodies to kind of like, you know, do it and make it a reality. So, you know, getting to walk that path as well, through putting out a podcast or an episode about talking about how I see things and hear things and like, you know, talk to my higher self and guides and, you know, channel beings and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's a couple of things.
I want to share with everyone here that, yes, what you're saying is true. It's like we get things revealed to us, and then it's really, then it's the work to rewire the patterning that held us in a particular version of ourselves, right? We developed coping mechanisms. And so then, for instance, I'll use this podcast, for example, the act of doing a podcast for me is being seen, putting myself out there, fear of failure. So it's been great to do it with Kate. I think we came together to complement each other in many ways. And it's been this great growth journey through the process of making this happen for me, recognizing that, you know, where I stopped early, you know, early on in projects, and because I was working with Kate, and because I think we're very aligned, like it was able to continue and be actually get birthed and launched. And then the other day I was having a moment feeling pretty disheartened about just like listening to myself as I was editing, and I shared that with Kate, and it was such like, I feel like she has a gift. You have a gift to reflect back, maybe a version that we might not see of ourselves when we are in our gunk or shit. So I imagine that's, you are doing that with your clients, right? Because I know I've had this with my, like how I've gotten to greater versions of myself is working with people very specifically who can hold a higher version of me than maybe I am able to hold for myself. And, and then allowing me to, where they are so in their own power, not needing to claim my power. And they're allowing me to step into that, right? In a very, integral and having integrity, we'll say. And that I've made in certain parts of my life, big changes through that container. And so I could see from that, you know, just what you were able to say to me, to see what I couldn't see for myself and reflect it back for me. I think that's probably how you can be so helpful with people with the Akashic Records, is like you can see something and maybe they can't see it yet. And if you can paint that picture for them, in a way where you truly know it and you truly see it, you can help them rise beyond like where their current patterning might be keeping them stuck.
Yeah. And talking about human design, I am a projector And that is one of my abilities, is that I can see you as that. And I want to say, go beyond that. I feel that. Like, I feel like that's, you know, through this journey, learning to read the records, going onto channel, going on to become an energy guide and learning about that, it's helped me understand how I do operate and actually how, yeah, I actually can feel your potential. And I don't know, I love tapping into people's potential because it feels so good to me, like how powerful they feel, you know. And I do, I think I just, my heart just sees the beauty in you and like the truth of you. And I've had my own experience of like what that's like to like not see it and all the noise and shit that goes on with it. And yet I can still hold, and I'd hold it for myself as well. And it's hard, but I can see you and I can hold you in the full potential. And I can see it. And I can also see all the, where, how are we going to just clear that space, that noise, you know? And something that you were saying when you said that, I was thinking, what we're also doing here is raising our vibration, right? So when we do operate in that place where ego is quite strong, negative voice is quite strong, and we allow the doubts to stop us, we allow the fears to stop us, and, you know, things feel hard, we are at a certain vibration, we're holding a certain vibration. And then as we are able to do that work and clear those things, like we're getting them out of the way, I kind of feel like it's like housekeeping, you know, you're like sweeping up the dust and the dirt, you know, and then the floors get to sparkle, and then that feels like there's more light in the room, and like that is you like raising your vibration. And as we do raise our vibration, and in that example I gave of like, you know, we go, yes, that is my mission, that is my purpose, I'm going to do it. We raise our vibration to the next level, and then it's like, okay, we still got some junk in the trunk, and it's really heavy because it's a different vibration, and because you're rising, now this heavier stuff that's still there, we've got to unpack that. It's like a weight and an anchor, and that's where the stuff comes up again. Different flavors of our old shit, because every time we raise in consciousness or rise in vibration, we just get another layer of like, we've got to let go of these things and these things. And so that's that kind of vibrational like there's not a match. So we've got to get this heavy stuff. We've got to let these denser vibrations go by getting back in there and clearing fears and doubts so that we can continue to rise in vibration. And then I think we said this before, like when we are then able to hold that high vibration, feel it, because we've done that work, you know, like you said, and I do think we recorded that, like you feel like it is possible to say, yeah, I know I don't have to doubt, right? Because at that level of vibration where we are, that level of consciousness, we do see that it's the truth, right? We literally, you know, the visual I keep getting is that we go up to sort of the level of the clouds, and we're looking at life from up there rather than down here in the tiny little streets. And, you know, we can see
our way out.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, exactly. Down there, it's like, which way do I turn? Yeah. Up here, it's like anything's possible. Like, you look in any direction you want to go, and you can go in that direction and, like, just go there. You know, I mean, you're carrying around your shit along down at the ground, but you can, it doesn't hold you down. It's not, you're not stuck in it. So yeah, that's sort of what this work helps us do is clear out the junk, to have that experience of ourselves in our truth, right, at a higher vibration, who we really are, and know ourselves at that level, and then get to experience in the life life in the way where it feels more expansive, and we truly understand that yes, we have got the potential and the possibility to do whatever it is that we're feeling called to do big things, to be this different version of ourselves.
I feel like the Akashic Records are this secret that it's almost unfair that more people aren't aware of them, right? Because it's like, who did we speak to?
Anna?
I was talking about cheat codes. Oh, Sarah Mae.
Oh, yeah.
Cheat codes, right? Yeah. It's almost like we don't have to suffer in our shit. There's a way to find out how to move beyond really difficult stuff that I'd say in previous like eras where, you know, we're moving in a time into a, like our, the vibration of the planet is raising, right? So we're able to get to higher states than, you know, 100 years ago people were able to be in. And people dealt with some, you know, if we look back at our parents and then to their parents and to their parents, it's like they had increasingly more difficult things that they had to live through, right? Like ways people parented, what were the norms back then, right? And so there's these traumas that people basically, for the most part, lived with their whole lives, right? They had traumas and they likely died with traumas. And now we have this access. I mean, we always had this access, but it was harder to get to because of this vibrational difference. It's easiest for us now to access higher states of vibration because the planet is supporting us at a higher vibration.
And
so I imagine more people are going to learn about this, right? It's not going to, the way information is changing, the way people are learning, like consciousness is changing, people are getting more access to things. And when people are ready for it, I imagine more and more people are going to be accessing the Akashic records to heal these things that previous generations, they had to live with for, or they didn't know any other way to like release.
Exactly. And I think as we move forward, exactly, just like intuitive abilities are coming online more, I think this is going to really support people to be able to access their own records. And a great place to start, as we said, even when we spoke to Anna, was looking at Linda Howe. She's one of the original people who brought through this stuff. And she has a pathway prayer, and that is something that you can say. It's kind of like going into a meditation, and then you're really willing to quiet your mind because your mind will get in the way, to receive an answer to whatever question you bring forward, and allowing yourself to receive that in whatever way it comes through. And so, as we've said before in one of our episodes about intuition, there's the different clair abilities, being that you might see things, you might hear things, you might know things, you might just sense something. And just learning to trust that, I think probably for most of our listeners, they've got a handle on and the sense of their intuition anyway. So like, here's another way you can just lean into it. And I'll say, when I was learning to do this, especially when I wanted to read for others, I knew that my mind was going to get in the way a lot. So I was just like, I just need to practice and practice and practice so I can override this doubt and fear to be in the habit of this and the practice of this, to be like, no, and just trust what you receive, trust what you receive. You know, it's if it's some random thing, just go with it, right? And if you're doing this for yourself, like, you might want to write it down as you're working through it, just process, see what comes up. You might want to speak it out loud and record yourself so you can capture whatever messages come through for you. Highly recommend journaling on it afterwards if you need to sort of sit with it in meditation. But, you know, don't dismiss anything. Like, you know, even if it seems crazy, just, you know, process, and then maybe ask for more information. Tell me more. You know, go a little deeper. And trust that if there's a question that arises within you while you're receiving insight, ask that in your mind or ask it aloud. And, you know, you can work with this energy, and it's just practice. And that's really all it is. And allowing yourself to have those experiences. And yeah, if it's challenging and your mind is busy, then meditation practice helps. And maybe meditate before, just to quiet the mind and just stick with it, because it's completely possible. Even the first time I did it for myself, I was like, it was felt really hard. Even reading for someone else the first time felt really hard, and not really hot and sweaty. And it felt like these images were like coming through real slow. And it was random. I can remember it was like a river rock and something else, but it resonated with this woman. I'm like, this is, stuff is insane. But, you know, one more thing I wanted to say is, like you said, it's amazing when these puzzle pieces come in. When I started to read the records for me, that felt like a big missing puzzle piece of who I was, you know, and having that access again, coming back full circle to how we started our conversation, you know, as a young girl being so into the spiritual world in a small, like, country music town. That's our country, it was. When I found this, the records, and could do it, and then found and recognized my abilities, it was like a homecoming. That little girl, now I understood why she was so into the crystals and bought crystal balls and bought the books and just loved that store, because she was always meant to be in that world, you know, and went all to all the psychic fairs and got her aura photo taken all the time, because it was just, that's what my soul came here to do, and be that version of me. And I kind of wish, you know, I could have tapped into it younger, but tried reading Deepak Chopra and Carolyn Miss, and my brain was like, no.
Not yet.
We were even talking about, like, reading the Celestine Prophecy, and I remember thinking, like, reading that in my probably early 20s, and then just recently, and I was like, night and day, completely different book. Couldn't understand any of it back then.
Yep.
Now it's like, oh, this is my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's so funny that we had that same experience with that book. And for those listening, I don't think we talked about it on the podcast. And I think we're going to talk about the book, The Celestine Prophecy, because we both had a similar experience with that. So that might be a later episode where we dive into that book, our experiences with it, and what we learned from it. So we are coming close to the end. I want to ask you one more question, but I feel called to say something about that came in. I think that things might feel a little bit dark on the planet right now, right? Because it feels like, how can it possibly transform, like, this new earth that we hear about? Like, how is that really going to happen? Is that really going to happen in like 10 years or like, things are terrible right now. Like, I hear a lot of people feeling disheartened with how things are going, especially for my country. But because we have this technology where things can spread so quickly, people's consciousnesses are expanding. And something like the Akashic Records, the more people, this is a way that our world can change in an exponential way. The more of us that are able to tap into our soul's purpose and we start living in alignment with who we came here to be, that's what's going to change our world, is when we are able to get on the path. But we're always on the path, as you say, but when we stop doubting, like, what we're here to do, who we're here to be, we're trusting. And we talk about the quantum field, quantum healing. Things can happen instantaneously, which our mind from a lower vibration can't understand. However, when we are in the vibration of the Akashic Records, things, as we've talked about, can happen instantaneously. So what happens when people are having quantum healings on a large scale? Someone has a quantum healing, they share, but someone in your life sees you have a quantum, you healed on this in an instant, your life changes and transforms. You become an example for other people. You can become, and that's how our world can change in a very short amount of time. And so if we don't focus on what feels hopeless, right, and we can tap into what we came here to do, and the hopelessness is a distraction, it's distracting us from doing what we need to do. And so I encourage people, if they're feeling that way, to start exploring this, start practicing and start working. Maybe book a session with Kate and help her, or allow her to help you walk through or explore your Akashic Records and do some healing work. So I think that, it kind of blows my mind in a couple of hours here. Like, I really didn't have any like expectations about what is possible with this. And so that shows that in an instance, our realities can shift.
And I'll just say too to that, like, not only finding out what it is your soul came here to be, to do, but being that soul version of you. Because when we're really being our soul version, we're compassionate, we're kind, we're loving, that's a different vibration. That in and of itself, without us even like going out and then creating change in the world, is a powerful difference. So knowing how to be that more also is incredibly powerful.
Well, thank you, Kate, for being you and doing this work and sharing it with us. I do have one more question if you want to touch upon it. I'm just curious. Yep. Well, we didn't talk about your channeling, and maybe we save that for another episode. Because clearly we have no challenge in talking about these sort of things.
Yes.
I was just curious if there are any particular like guides or archangels or you talked about the keepers of the records that you have experience with or connection with or have been helpful for you.
I would say, like you, Archangel Michael is really the only one that I've had a conscious awareness of who I was working with and had a very, very strong felt sense of that. Mm-hmm. And that was blew my mind when that first experience happened. I think I was doing, it might have been a meditation about Archangel Michael, led by this woman who works with angelic energies. And that was my experience of like when his energy came in. And so that to me felt so real that I was like, I like this guy, quote unquote guy. And I had consciously, when things been challenging or I wanted support around things, have asked for that energy. And like, that's how we work with these things. It's consciousness. There is support out there for us. And when we talk about channeling, we can go into all of that. And yeah, I would say Archangel Michael. And, you know, even as I say that I, you know, angels, you know, having Catholic upbringing, you think of, you know, a being with wings, like these are energies, not the opposite of, you know, what lives in hell or whatever. And they're powerful and it's like supported, super supported. Like, you know, open, keep that door open as well for anyone who's like, what? Because I've been there, I had the door closed on angels, and then I had this experience, and I was like, wow, this, that's a really powerful energy.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Maybe it'd be cool to do an episode about angels and other energies at some point and exploring that. And
yeah,
that'd be fun too. And maybe before then, even like trying to connect with other energies as well. With that intention that we're going to speak about it. Cool. Well, thank you, Kate, for this fun conversation. I like when we flow. I definitely am feeling quite good from this experience and
what you've learned today.
It's felt really easy to talk after getting to that place where my mind is not getting in the way. You know?
Yes.
Like so much is possible when we exist in that energy. So thanks for this episode was what nudged me. And so I hope for you listeners that you got something out of this conversation. Feel free to leave us comments, send us questions. If you have an awakening or a topic that you'd like to speak about on this podcast, we have a form on our website. Go ahead and fill that out. Otherwise, we will. Do you have anything else to say, Kate, or should we just go ahead and sign off there?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thanks everyone for listening.
See you on that. We'll see you and talk to you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.